I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. Thanks for being with us. The shock from a bombing like the one that happened in Manchester, England, on Monday doesn't subside quickly. As the names of the 22 victims are confirmed and their stories told, there's a lot of mourning that needs to happen. We'll be hearing about that on the show today. Meanwhile, as the investigation continues, the government there has raised the UK's threat alert level to critical. That's the highest possible, meaning that another terror attack could be imminent. And it allows authorities to deploy armed soldiers to patrol the streets. The World's Leo Hornack was out on one of those streets today near Parliament in London.
Well, Marco, as you say, I'm standing just opposite Big Ben outside the Houses of Parliament. And in many ways, it's a pretty kind of traditional scene. You know, I can see there's a traditional red London bus over there, black taxi cabs. But there's one thing that isn't quite so normal, Marco, which is I can see just across the road there a soldier in khaki with an assault rifle. And that's not the kind of thing that you would expect to see. It's one of the most secure parts of Britain, probably one of the most secure sites in the world. And you are used to seeing armed police, but those are civilian police at a place like this. To see a soldier is something different and something we're not used to.
So just to put it in perspective, I mean, Britain's experienced terrorist attacks before. There were the coordinated bombings in 2005 mm-hmm. on the
right.
bus and tube system in London. Do you have a sense of how much of a shock there is this time?
Well, I mean, of course, it goes even further back, Marco, because I grew up in the era of the IRA and I had a bomb drill in my school to prepare for when there might be a bomb attack. So it actually goes back decades, this sense of awareness. But that's not to downplay at all the horror and the impact of what happened this week in Manchester. And I think there's no question at all that Manchester as a city is in a state of shock and grief. I think that here in London, there's a slightly different reaction, I think it's fair to say. I mean, there's a bit more of a sense of inevitability about attacks. The real comparison, in a way, that comes to my mind was I covered the Charlie Hebdo attacks and the Bataclan attacks in Paris. And that was a city that was in a real sense of total grief and fear, actually, at some point. And you had the same thing of troops, heavily armed troops, appearing on the streets. I remember walking past the Champs-Élysées and the sight of soldiers with the assault rifles there was something quite strange. And I think there is the same strangeness in seeing soldiers on the streets of London. But London kind of has got used to the sense, I think, quite a long time ago that it will be a target.
The World's Leo Hornack in London. British police think the Manchester bomber was probably not acting alone and that he may have been part of a network that planned Monday's attack.
That might explain why the terror level was raised yesterday.
That's Rukmini Kalamaki. She reports on ISIS and al-Qaeda for the New York Times. And she says investigators are following clues left at the crime scene in Manchester.
We know that they are searching for the factory where they believe that the explosives were made. These were powerful explosives that, as we know now, were able to kill more than 20 people on the spot.
And what is the suspicion about this network? Is it the network the UK officials believe that weaponized this young man?
Whenever you have what looks like a sophisticated bomb, you have to assume that there was a bomb maker. And the accepted wisdom, I should say, is that a group is not going to sacrifice their bomb maker. That's a person that has valuable skill that you want to keep alive in order to be able to make future explosives. And so the question becomes, is there a person who executed the attack and in addition, at least one bomb maker?
What evidence is there right now to suggest the bomber was a mule using a device built by someone else? What are you hearing?
We don't have any concrete evidence, but if you compare the blast that happened in Manchester to what happened in Paris in November of 2015, I think that you can draw some lessons. So in November of 2015, we know that a group of at least 10 attackers dispatched from Syria, who had been trained by ISIS, battle-hardened on the battlefields in Iraq and Syria, arrived in Paris. There were three that were sent to the stadium, and the three that went to the stadium blew themselves up and killed exactly one other person. So think about that. Three suicide bombers killed one human being.
Not very
right?
efficient if you're
Not
a
very
suicide
efficient.
Bomber.
Not very efficient. And those people were we know, trained. They were coming directly from Syria. They then released a video showing them carrying out atrocities in Syria, beheadings, executions. So those were core ISIS. and yet they failed miserably. So just compare that. This, as far as we know, there was one attacker who went near the Manchester venue and managed in one go to kill more than 20 people.
So obviously some very sophisticated bomb, or at least a bomb built by somebody who's got capabilities. What do we know about the suicide bomber's travels to Syria?
We now have a French official, a minister, who has confirmed that he went to Syria. I have spoken to sources of mine who said he went to Turkey, which is, of course, a logical step before you go to Syria. And we know that he went to Libya. Libya, in a way, is the least suspicious because we know he has family there. So it's possible that he went there on family business. And we've just done an interview with the family of the alleged attacker. And the family claims that he came for the Ramadan holiday. Mm. So we know very little about what he did in any of these places. But when you put them all together, that is a trajectory that starts to look like an ISIS trajectory.
Tell me more about what we know about the connections to Libya and the family of this bomber.
Well, there are reports now that the father of the alleged bomber belonged to a group called the LIFG. This is a militant group in Libya that grew to be close to Al-Qaeda. It's one of these old school rebel groups that was coming up at the same time as Osama bin Laden. And I don't make too much of that. I mean, a lot of people were funneled into that group that were simply opponents of Gaddafi. Anyway, there you have another possible bridge. LIFG, we know, was at some point close to Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda in Libya very quickly morphed into a branch of the Islamic State. And so there's a possibility there through the family, but it's not confirmed.
What are you keeping an eye on now, Rukmini?
I really want to know what the explosive was made of.
These
groups tend to have a series of patterns that they follow, both in the style of attack, the types of targets that they choose. So the bombing and the fact that this was a concert venue, which in ISIS's eyes is a place of sin, are both consistent with ISIS. They're also consistent with Al-Qaeda, though, right? When you get to the explosive, ISIS has been consistent in nearly always using TATP in attacks in Europe. Interestingly, that's not the explosive that they use in Iraq and Syria, in Libya, in other theaters. But in Europe, they have used something called triacetone triperoxide, TATP. That was what was used in the belts of the suicide bombers in Paris, in the suitcase bombs that were placed at the Brussels airport, in Verviers, and in numerous other failed plots that police were able to intercept before they took off. So if we hear that the explosive used was indeed TATP, to me that would be a further sign pointing towards ISIS. If it's something else, then it could still be ISIS, you know, experimenting with perhaps a new mode of attack. Or it could point to Al-Qaeda, because Al-Qaeda has used different materials in the past.
Right. And the son of Osama bin Laden is calling for attacks in the West.
The son of Osama bin Laden, who is, from what I can tell, is being positioned as the heir apparent of the terror network. He was the favorite son of Osama bin Laden. He's young. He's charismatic. He's everything that Ayman Zawahiri, the current leader, is not. Came out just recently with a message where he called on his supporters to attack the West. So Al-Qaeda is truly making an effort to get back in the game.
Rukmini Kalamaki with The New York Times. Always great to hear your thoughts. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Marco. It's a pleasure.
And in Manchester, people are slowly coming to terms with the violence on Monday night. Sam Qureshi lives in Manchester, just about a quarter mile from the site of the explosion.
It's totally devastated my world as a musician. I'm a regular busker in the streets of Manchester, which is now completely desolate and a shadow of its former self. I also believe it might deter the public from going to live gigs and live concerts in the city.
Give us a sense of how vibrant that scene is. Like the night of the Ariana Grande concert, I imagine there were a lot of gigs in Manchester that night.
Yeah, the Manchester Evening News Arena is actually not far from what's called the Northern Quarter of Manchester, which is the trendy base of the creative artists. There were other gigs going on that night, and it's the vibrancy of New York City, that area of Manchester.
I mean, you like to busk in the streets. Is this moment kind of urging you to make more music or less music?
No, I think all the musicians that I've spoken to since this horrific attack are very determined to carry on doing live work and playing in the city. I think there's going to be a lot of benefit concerts in the city of Manchester, and we're going to sort of rock against terrorism here.
And yet today you see a Manchester that is kind of a ghost of its former self.
It's a weeping city. I walked in the streets just this morning and it was so desolate. I mean, the positive about it is that everybody's just talking to each other. We're just making eye contact with each other and just telling each other our feelings, the horror of what happened, and being appalled that actually children were targeted in this attack. So although there's a devastation, it's such a fantastic city that everybody's just going to unite and fight back against terrorism together here.
Is it just a matter of time, Sam, before musicians sort of like get back on the stage?
Well, no gigs have actually been postponed. Simple Minds carried on. They played at the Bridgewater Hall last night. Obviously, there's high security being stepped up at all the music venues. I actually suspect that there will be more gigs because we're going to rock against all the negatives of terrorism that it brings, such as pure racism, obviously, which is another issue, especially in a multicultural city like Manchester.
You mean the racism that could be created in the wake of something like this against Muslims?
Yeah, any anti-Muslim behavior is not tolerated by the Manchester police. They will have zero tolerance to such behavior. Manchester is a community that is very multicultural, Asian, Muslim, Sikh, and we want perfect harmony here. And the fear is that quite maybe the uneducated will jump at an opportunity of racism.
Sam, what is your own story? Manchester born and bred?
I'm actually of Muslim background. I've been in Manchester 20 years now. This, I regard Manchester as my home.
And a first name like Sam, is that short for Samir, or have you kind of gone secular?
It's Salim. Salim.
Salim.
Yeah. I think people that have known me all my life don't even know that. So, you know, you're pretty up on it there.
What have you been hearing among your Muslim friends in Manchester? Have you been speaking with them?
Yeah, well, I would say that they're even more appalled because it's directly affected their community. Islam is a beautiful religion, and these terrorists have nothing to do with the religion. And the Muslims are making that very, very clear. I have to emphasize the unity of this city. Everybody is walking around clubbing together, wholeheartedly hugging each other in the streets of all nationalities right now. I mean, this is the defeat of the terrorists that are behind this attack. And I think the terrorists, that wasn't their intention. I think they've totally failed when they see situations like that. So the positivity is standing out for me more than the negativity right now.
Sam Qureshi, he lives and makes music in Manchester.